The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Friday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
The best part of you hosting is watching your dancing. I love that.
Why does this Joe doesn't dance?
No, he doesn't really dance the way you do.
Yeah, no, I love to dance.
You get into it.
I will tell you, and I want to thank Al Gattulo for the music. Sam Bolin has a tremendous, that's the engineer who works on my show. He has a tremendous influence on the show because the music he plays, like, puts my head, I mean, music has
a
tremendous
space.
Influence on which way you're going. And.
But I don't know if you know this, but the Joe Piscopo Show actually originated the use of bumper music coming into the different segments.
This is
the first show to have done that.
I thought Paul Lynn was the first.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm a big fan of the bumper music. And, you know, I think I'm not going to get into what laws are violating by playing all the bumper music. But
no, but music does set the tone.
There's
for
no
certain things
doubt about
on a show.
And actually. If you want to know how the sausage is made, I kind of got a little annoyed at, not annoyed, but I was a little disappointed with Matt Sambolin and Alex, who they were here in studio. I think this was maybe, it was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I was in my office, my law office, and Matt is fantastic. He's always DJing for me for like the 15 minutes before the show to like get me in the mood. So I'm only listening to the music that Matt is playing for me. I then do my whole show, which I was very prepared for. And like at the end of the show, I don't know if it was Frank from Staten Island or someone was like, I thought it was interesting you didn't talk about President Trump being on with John Katsimatidis immediately before your show. And I'm like, and Alex Garrett, he produces that show from here. I mean, it's the WABC 970 simulcast.
Right.
So I was like, you think maybe somebody wanted to tell me
I was here for that.
The president of the United States happened to be on like 6 minutes before the beginning of my show, and maybe I could have done a little bit more of a segue.
But also, we'll pull back the curtain a little bit. That show doesn't originate from here. That show originates
from WABC. No, but they're listening. But Alex is listening.
No, I understand.
And it's not every day that Trump is on the airwaves.
Right. No, I understand.
So now let me get in trouble on the home front. My wife drops off my son at school at 8 o'clock every morning. So at exactly 8 o'clock, I just wrote to her, I miss you guys so much. I hope you had an easy morning. I think a pretty nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? Benign.
Here's what I give.
What are you doing on the show?
No.
I need help.
Oh, that's sweet, honey. I think all the kids, now we have two in the house.
Right.
All the kids heard the rustling of their daddy upstairs. I had Arthur up at 5:30 and the baby, LOL. I heard you too. I have a feeling you were late and rushing, right? Arthur went back to sleep, but the baby didn't. Otherwise, I had a pretty easy morning. And I wrote back, honey, I was silent. And she wrote back, honey, I know you think that. It's okay. It's just you hear everything upstairs. I know you were trying to be quiet. It is what it is. Don't worry about it. Oh, and this is in real time. She's writing this as we. Thank you, Marianne. I really do try to be quiet, but she is correct. At 5 in the morning, things are a lot louder than they are because there's no other ambient noise around.
See, here's the thing. So we sleep with a fan on. My wife used to do this.
Sound machines.
No, but
everywhere.
My wife used to do this, and now I'm used to it. So I have to have a fan on now when I sleep. I can't sleep without some type of noise in the background. She's gotten me so used to it. But I'm up, 2:33 in the morning. I'm up to get out and do my thing. So a lot, and my wife is a very, very light sleeper. So any noise that I make, she wakes up. And now enter into the mix, not a child, but a dog.
Oh,
see, the cats, they don't bother you. They just, the cats camp out by the bathroom for me, waiting for me to feed them. The dog, on the other hand, will start barking at midnight, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning to get let out. So during the week, that's her yeah, job, not mine, because I got to be up. So on the weekends, I'll go downstairs and put him out. But during the week, and I heard her this morning, he must have started barking maybe 15, 20 minutes before I got up, and I don't get up. I'm like, you know what, too bad. I need my extra 15, 20 minutes here because I'm not getting up. It's whatever day it is. So I hear her reluctantly getting up, going downstairs, and I'm sort of laughing to myself. She came back upstairs. She's like, yeah, I heard you snickering. Sorry.
See, this is why it's so great to live alone. I don't have to worry about waking anyone up except for the neighbor downstairs.
I want to do some real news in a second, but in terms of like living alone, Al and I haven't done that in very, very many years.
Yeah.
But I did do that during the pandemic because that initial weekend, March 13, 14, 15, we all had tickets to go to Florida. And Marianne left, but I said, I got to see what's going on. They just canceled the NBA season, Marianne. I go, that's billions of dollars. I'm like, something's up. I say goodbye to them, put them on the plane. I didn't see them for 7 weeks, I think.
That's crazy.
I was alone for 7 weeks. Wow, Al, it's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
And there was no work.
Right.
So, I mean, it was the...
We
were scared, but it was the staycation. It was the ultimate stay.
Right.
Well, so I think it was like that weekend or the next weekend. It was like I was about to go to bed at 1 a.m, but I wasn't really tired and I had nothing to wake up for. I put on Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston at like 1:30 in the morning until like 4 a.m. It was.
But don't you find that now? I mean, we're 2 years removed from the pandemic, right? And you know, the president said the pandemic
is
over. Well, right. I mean, look. We're still in some form of a pandemic. Are we reaching the end of it where we're in an endemic phase? Yes, but not completely.
I don't think it's ever going to end for me. But
No. And no. My point being is this, and Arthur, you can speak to this because not only are you a radio host, but you're a business owner. You own a law firm. You own a business. And you have people that you want and need in your office as a lawyer. I was speaking to a lawyer yesterday who has been interviewing people to try and hire them for his firm. That he works at. And the first question they're asking them now is,
can I work remotely?
Right. How many days can I work remotely?
Bye-bye.
And he said, to his credit, he said, I'm an old school guy. You need to be in the office to interact with your people and with your clients. There are some things, yes, you can do remotely. But for the most part, you need to be in the office. Now, I know last year, you had said Labor Day. You told your guys at your
not last year, and 2020, 2 years ago.
Okay, so 2020,
two years ago.
Hey,
Labor Day.
It's time to be in the office. This is it. You've got to get back to work. Now, when you did it in 2020, did you have people leave your law firm?
No.
Last year, same thing.
No. People didn't the only look. First of all, there's only 20 people in my firm. It's not 200 people. But there was one young man who's a paralegal who. He called me, he's like, look, Mr. Idella, my father's recovering from lung cancer. If I take the subway, I bring him home, COVID, I could kill him. I mean, I didn't even think, Alex, I'm crazy, of course not, don't worry about it. I will make you laugh, though. So I have two judges, retired judges who work with me.
Right.
The youngest guy, after like the third day, we're all in suits. And this is September 2020, the city's empty,
right.
But everyone's wearing a suit and a tie. Because that's how I run things.
Yeah.
Because if you dress like a lawyer, you feel like a lawyer, you're going to be a better lawyer. And the people who are putting their trust in us have to feel that. This one the youngest guy in the firm, Al, he comes in on the third day. After watching us, all of us, these retired judges, they're in suits and ties.
Right.
He comes in like shorts and a T-shirt. Oh. And I never raise my voice. And I just go, Michael, get in here. I go, close the door. And I never raise my voice. So he's looking at me, his eyeballs. I go, what the heck are you wearing? I go, are you kidding me? I mean, Judge Cammons is in there with a suit and a bow tie on, and you're coming here like you're working a construction job? I go, you better fix that. I go, I'll talk to you later. And now he leaves, and he closes the door.
We don't even dress that casually on the radio.
Gattulo, within an hour, he's in the office in a suit and a tie. I mean, my door was closed, so I go to him. I go, Michael, could you come here for a second? I go, first of all, I'm sorry for raising my voice, but, you know, there is common sense as part of being a lawyer.
Sure.
When you're looking at everyone around you dressed a certain way, and you're the lowest guy on the totem pole.
Right, right. You're
and
no you're dressing pole like, at all.
I said, can you tell me how this whole, like, Superman thing happened here?
Right.
He goes, I went down the block to Men's Warehouse.
And bought a suit.
He bought a suit. That it was, and then it was already hemmed or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, look, General Motors, I mean, you want to talk about the wussification of America.
100%.
General Motors says, we want you back 3 days a week.
Right.
You can pick which three.
Starting next year.
Yeah, right. And they announced it on a Friday.
Right.
And, like, people got nervous. Oh, my God, they were having nervous breakdown. Get the heck out of here.
They flipped out, and on Monday, Mary Barra said, you know, who's the CEO, turned around and said, well, you know, we shouldn't have done it on a Friday.
And
we apologized. No. This is part of the problem.
Yes.
You can't miss, first of all right, was it poor taste to do it on a Friday at, like, 3, 4 o'clock
but
in the afternoon?
Why? It's next year. It didn't say starting Monday.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So even if you want to argue that fact that maybe they shouldn't have done it at that point and people were seething over the weekend or whatever about this and that.
Seething over what?
Right.
Earning your salary?
Going to an office?
Your job is working for a car manufacturer. How do you build the cars? In a factory. You don't build them in the garage. You don't build them in the back
virtually.
Yard. Virtually. They're not a 3D printer and the car, you know, is produced and somebody
sooner
drives
than later.
The lot. So the bottom line is, you have to get back to work at some point. So I don't think 3 days a week,
it's
3 days
BS,
they wanted to pick was you know what I mean, was egregious. So their argument was they're having a revolt because the people are saying, you know, they don't pay us that much and this and that. Well, you know what? Go find another job. Yeah. New York Times employees are complaining.
Correct.
They don't have a contract. They want some outlandish amount of money. The Times says, we're only going to give you this much. They're saying you paid all these executives all these billions of dollars. Okay, maybe they got an argument. But the Times now wants their people back in the building. These people are going, I don't get paid enough to commute anymore. They're still getting their same salary, mind you. They didn't get a pay cut during the pandemic. They got their same salary. They don't want to pay to commute to Manhattan. They feel that Manhattan is unsafe. Do you know where the New York Times building sits? Across the street from the Port Authority, which happens to have cops there all the time. You're telling me that's not safe enough?
I mean, listen, it is. So the same day the news broke about General Motors and not want to come back is when the Martha's Vineyard, the immigrants, you know.
Yes,
right.
If you took those people from Venezuela, Al Gattulo, and told them, you got a job at General Motors right now.
Oh, they'd leap at that.
$58,000 a year with your health benefits, with a pension plan.
Powerball.
You start tomorrow.
They're running,
Working 6 days a week.
They'll work seven.
Exactly.
Oh,
they'll work seven. And that's the difference. And that's what, look, I love immigration. It needs to be done.
Legally.
Illegally.
Right.
It needs to be done legally.
Right.
But those are the people with the fire in their belly that we don't have here anymore.
Right.
Those are the people in Venezuela where the inflation is 300% and it costs, you know, that they want to come here and they appreciate what we have. These people now, they don't appreciate it.
Let me ask you, though, as a business owner, and now before, let's talk about before the pandemic. Did you notice in dealing with younger people that maybe the work ethic has been on the decline for several years?
Oh, my God. Like, I called them into the office last Monday, not this past. And I said, you know, I do my show here at my desk in the law firm. I go, I'm done at 6:55. I said, you know what I'm tired of? I said, I'm tired of walking out into the hallway and I'm the only one here. I said, when I was a lawyer, like you guys are, 28, 29, 30, first I was in the DA's office, then I was in my own firm. There was no, I mean, yes, I'm not saying 5 nights a week. I worked until 10 o'clock at night. At least twice I would work until 10 o'clock. I never left before 7:30, like ever, unless I had something to do. And it was either working for the government where I was making $28 a year. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money as a DA, or working for myself. And I said, I want to see you guys here more. Oh, well, we work remotely. I said, really? Good. Okay. When you go home, I said, I want timesheets. Because I don't really ask for them to do timesheets in the office. Because I'm right there. I can see what they're doing. Okay, fine. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be seen. See, let me watch what you're doing. Good. Then at the end of the week, you could say, Tuesday, got home at 8 o'clock. And from 8 to 8:15, I worked on this. And from 8:15 to 8:30, I worked on that. And from 8:30 to 8:45.
Which is reasonable.
Now, of course, no one's done that. And I'm probably too much of a softie to really enforce it. But I lead by example.
You need me to come in?
Didn't I tell you? I told you yesterday, Joe, or 2 days ago. And it's interesting, Al. Like, I always liked to take off what we call out east Tumbleweed Tuesday, which is the Tuesday after Labor Day. Mm. It's tumbleweeds because renters leave and everyone leaves.
Right.
And I always like to be there. But you know what? I don't do that anymore. Not because I can't. Of course, I control my schedule. I'm the quote-unquote boss. But I lead by example. If I'm not there Tuesday morning after Labor Day at 9 o'clock in the morning, then I don't expect them to see me not there and for them to do it. But if I'm there, you better be there.
Right.
And I think that whole work ethic is dissipating.
100%. I think the work that's part of the problem.
What is this quiet quitting thing?
Oh yeah.
Well, the quiet quitting thing is just people slowing down their jobs. They're used to doing 15 things a day. Now they only do 7, and this is their way of protesting.
And now their whole thing it was on TikTok that at 6 o'clock they're done. At 6 o'clock I'm done. I'm off the clock. That's it. They're trying to Listen, I work a job where essentially, not that I actually work 24/7, but I'm always sort of on call. So, I wish I could have that luxury.
The bottom line is we need to get people back in the offices in New York, because if you don't, what's going to happen is restaurants are going to close, bodegas are going to close. It's
everything.
A trickle-down effect throughout the city where now all of a sudden at 9 o'clock at night, why is the city closed? The city should be open.
Well, there was an article in the Times saying the city that never sleeps is sleeping now.
That's right.
It's closing
down
early.
It's not good.
Speaking of sleeping... What are we doing? A little traffic? A little traffic action? All right, let's listen to Susie and hear an update on the traffic.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Partly cloudy skies, and it's 55 in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. Two stalls to watch out for. One on the LIE eastbound at Queens Boulevard. That's in the left lane. And this is ridiculous. Since 4:45 this morning, the stall truck is still there across Bronx West and on the Alexander Hamilton Bridge, blocking the left lane. Also, really heavy delays on the Belt Parkway westbound into Lefferts Boulevard. LIE westbound into Woodhaven Boulevard, that's a 20-minute delay. Inbound George now 40 for the upper, 25 to 30 for the lower. Inbound link in the exclusive bus lane is closed due to an accident, that's a 20-minute delay. Holland, your best bet, 10 to 15 from either approach. It's been relatively quiet in New Jersey this morning, still incident-free along the parkway. Thruway southbound, just a little slow from 13 to 12 in Rockland. Checking your forecast today, some sun now, but becoming cloudy with a high of 65. Tonight, some rain and 54. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970, The Answer.
You listen to this radio station for truth at a time when truth is an endangered species. Now, we want to invite you to listen to our sister TV network, Salem News Channel. You'll find us in the App Store or online at salemnewschannel.com or on Roku or similar devices. You'll see Hugh Hewitt in the morning, followed by Mike Gallagher. You'll see Dennis Prager, followed by Sebastian Gorka. And at 5 Eastern Time, our newest star, Andrew Wilkow, with Dinesh D'Souza at 7 Eastern. Salem News Channel, the antidote to the mainstream media.
Everyone knows Perillo Tours are the definitive travel experts in Italy and Hawaii, serving travelers for some 77 years now. What you may not know is Perillo Tours has expanded their fabulous tours to include Spain in 2022. That's right, Spain. CEO Steve Perillo and his nephew Devin, representing the fourth generation of Perillo Tours, has put together an unforgettable adventure to Spain. How does a 13-day tour of Spain sound? Madrid, Cordoba, Granada, Seville, Barcelona. All Perillo Tours are 4 and 5 stars, all centrally located. Enjoy a horse-drawn carriage ride in Seville. Take in a passionate flamenco dance show with dinner. Experience a sherry tasting in a private art gallery. Participate in a paella cooking class, all including the famous Perillo Never Lift a Finger promise that you have come to know and love. 800-631-1000 or visit, please, PerilloTours.com.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell. Cordell & Cordell is a firm that practices family law exclusively. We focus on only one area of the law to maximize our strength and effectiveness as advocates for clients that have everything on the line, their homes, savings, and most importantly, their children. We're the partner our clients count on.
866-DADS-LAW, 701 Eastgate Drive, Suite 310, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, 08054. Diana Magala, licensed in New York and New Jersey. Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only. CordellCordell.com.
Folks, there's one man that every mover and shaker goes to for advice on running your government and their businesses. And now we have him, just for you, right here. We're proud to bring you the Catman, John Catsimatidis, every weekday evening at 5. Catch him if you can, here on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
2,977 people were killed on 9/11. People are still suffering and losing their lives to 9/11-related illnesses. A generation of kids knows little to nothing about it. Only Tennessee and Arizona mandate K-12 learning, a national disgrace. The Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute gives educators access to nonfiction 9/11 resources for K-12. Curriculum units built around first-person accounts with social studies lessons for teachers to ensure ease of use. Plus, the nonfiction Discovering Heroes series of books for elementary school, a speakers bureau with access to 9/11 first responders, survivors, and loved ones, and a mobile exhibit, 83-foot tractor trailer that transforms into an interactive museum with 9/11 artifacts. Tunnel to Towers is also granting Russell F. Siller Memorial Scholarships to the children of their program recipients who are exemplary high school students preparing for college. To never forget, we must educate future generations. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
Mike Gallagher, live from our Wall Street studios.
Coming up at 10 a.m.
on AM 970, The Answer.
Arthur Idala here, filling in for Joe Piscopo on a Friday morning, 8:26 a.m., and I am so excited. I want to thank Joe Sebelia for this because Nicole Gelinas is so smart. I could talk to her really about anything, and I would like to throw you a curveball if I could, Nicole, because I know you have this big brain. I just went on a little bit of a rant about work ethic here in the country. And about this quiet quitting stuff, and the GM told folks they want people to come back to the office, and they told them on a Friday, we need you to come back 3 days a week next year, and there was like a revolt. What does Nicole Gelinas have to say about this?
Good morning, Arthur. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for your kind words. I mean, I think this is just one of the yet another destructive, pernicious effect of inflation. You know, people feel that their income is being eroded by the rising cost of living, very frustrated and taking this out in ways that in the long run will not be productive to them. Now, this is, you know, why you don't want to get into one of these situations where you have inflation that is flirting with the double digits. I mean, this makes, there are no winners here, and people make their own situation worse when they act out in a frustrated manner.
So, Nicole, do you think, so you're saying you think it's motivated by economics. I think it's a little bit, I'm not minimizing that, but I think people got lazy during the whole pandemic thing. People got used to working at home in their pajamas, and they want to make the same. Yeah, and yes, obviously, if you don't have to commute, if you're not buying lunch out and you're doing everything at home, I'm not minimizing the financial impact that it has. But I also think there's a degree of laziness that's come over the United States of America. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, some of this is also the long commutes. I mean, we treated our mass transit system as a utility. Always had the attitude that people have no choice but to take the transit system to work if they want to make a living. And now we have to start treating it as an amenity. And we're not doing that. I mean, we are still acting as if it's 2019 and people are forced into going onto these long commutes to get to their job. I mean, the government kind of fell down for years and years and years and was itself very lazy. And now many people, particularly the more affluent people, do have a choice of whether they want to partake in these commutes or not. And certainly, yes, the high gas prices, rising cost of purchasing food out and so forth. And if you resume going back to work, you are giving yourself a pay cut.
So, yes, and I will tell you, I work in Midtown, and the price for lunch at just like the local, you know, deli kind of thing, it has gone up tremendously. But, you know, the environment that I work in is very collaborative. Yeah. And, you know, people pay my law firm to get results. I mean, ultimately, yes, they want us to work hard. Ultimately, you know, they want to have their phone calls returned. But the bottom line is they just want the result. And my feeling is and is that all of us working together in the same place and bouncing ideas off of each other is going to give the client that result that they want, or give them the best chance at obtaining that result.
No question. I think people are better off working it together and not, you know, at least some of the time, and not just working entirely by themselves.
So you brought up the issue of the subways. Now, where my office is in Midtown, to go to the courthouse, which is what I do on a regular basis, you know, I walk from Fifth Avenue over to Grand Central. I get on the 4 train and I take it two express stops. It's a very short commute. It was interesting. When I got on the train yesterday, there were two police officers there, but there was also a clearly a homeless person. She was sleeping. There was a little bit of disarray around her. She was sitting in one of the two seated benches in the corner. If the police officers weren't there, you're questioning what's going on. And then I come back to the office and I see this article, or it popped up, about this tragedy of the FDNY lieutenant stabbed in the neck by a clearly deranged individual for no reason whatsoever. What does Nicole Gelinas have to say about this?
Yeah, this is another attack on a woman in New York City. We've had this year, we've had multiple stranger on stranger fatal attacks on women. You know, you had the woman Christina Unalee on the Lower East Side coming home from a night out, followed into her apartment by a strange deranged individual. You had the young woman killed at Burger King. You had the woman killed in Brooklyn walking to her work at the supermarket. You had Michelle Goh pushed under the subway. So this is what people fear, is random crime. Before 2019, we could go an entire year in New York City without having a woman killed on the street or on the subway by a stranger. So this points up not only that crime is up, and of course, no crime is acceptable. The gang murder of teenager, no more acceptable than any killing. But these are the types of murders that have just skyrocketed and increased multiple times. And these are the crimes people fear, because if you're not involved in criminal activity in normal times, very, very low risk of your becoming a crime victim. But now that risk is much higher than it was 3 years ago. I mean, we've had 19 murders on the subways in 2.5 years. It would have taken us 12 years to have 19 murders on the subway before 2019. So no question that the physical environment has changed.
So what do we do? I just earlier in the show, I had Paul DiGiacomo on, the president of the Detective Endowment Association. He was expressing his frustration also in the fact that they don't have the manpower that they once had, because he made it sound like there's people who aren't just signing up. It's not like, we don't have enough money to hire these people. It's we don't have enough bodies to fill the void. There was a big ban on a lot of these specialized units that the NYPD had that were very effective at fighting crime. As we know, Nicole Gelinas, that there was a stop and frisk. I sat next to the police commissioner Kelly last night, and yes, stop and frisk was controversial. But, you know, the city was actually, during that period of time when he was the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, it was safer to be underground than overground. The crime rate in the subways was so low. It was lower than it was in you know, where we live. Nicole, is it time to, like, kind of put the, politically correct policing up to the side and say, you know, we're going to take back our streets and our subways?
Well, Adams, to his credit, the one type of crime that is down is shooting murders and shootings in general. I mean, he ran on cutting crime. Most crimes are up, you know, robbery, assault, rape, and so forth are all up. But shootings and shooting murders are down. And why is that? Because they are targeting the illegal guns, going after people carrying illegal guns, and they're doing a pretty good job of arresting these individuals. Record number of illegal guns taken off the streets in the first 9 months of this year in modern times. But the problem is, once people are arrested, they're put right back out on the street. Only 20% of people arrested on a gun crime are remanded to jail. So, you know, the police are doing a pretty good job with the resources that they have, but it's the rest of the criminal justice system that is, you know, turning the same people right back on the streets, and the police have to start back where they started. And I think you're right about the manpower, that, you know, it's striking that every other tough-on-crime mayor, you know, Mayor Deakins, Mayor Giuliani, they wanted to hire new police classes and add police classes. And Adams has not wanted to add an extra police class. Is that something that's sustainable over the long term?
I spoke to Mayor Giuliani, who you just mentioned, and, you know, look, everyone is pounding their chest about bail reform and it's got to be rolled back. And let's not kid ourselves. Eric Adams, shortly after his election, went up to Albany. I think it was shortly after, I think, his swearing in, not his election, but after his swearing in. He went up to Albany, and I don't want to be rude, but I think the door was basically closed in his face, saying, listen, we're not moving, we're not changing anything. So I asked Rudy, I said, you know, what do you think can be done? He's like, Adams has to keep the NYPD motivated, keep making the arrests, and then showing the statistics like the one you just threw out. 20% of people arrested for guns are remanded, and the other 80%, I guess, are bail eligible, or bail is placed on them so they're able to be released. And just show that, look, statistically speaking, we've been doing this now since 2019. If you want to take the pandemic out of it and just look at 2020 and all these arrests we made and these people back on the streets and the impact it's having on crime, Rudy said that may be the only way, is to shame them into showing the mistake that they made in these bail reform laws. What does Nicole Gelinas have to say about that?
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, the governor tweaked the laws very slightly, but we still see multiple suspects out on no bail bail, including the individual who attacked the young woman, Elizabeth Gomes, in the subway in Queens the other day, gave her serious injuries, including possible losing vision in one eye and neurological damage and concussion and so forth. And this person had a long, violent history, was as a juvenile, killed his grandmother, attacked his sister, multiple violent felony convictions. And then he was arrested on two supposedly smaller crimes, although one of them was also threatening his sister over the summer. And the judge, because those were considered two nonviolent crimes, judge basically had to let him out. Now, in a functional environment, judge would say, okay, maybe if it was just you or me suddenly committed a nonviolent crime, maybe something went wrong and we need help. But to have a person with a very long history of violent crimes suddenly show back up in court with two new crimes, shouldn't that person have had to post bail? Instead, he was let right back out and escalated his crime to this attack on this woman. And there's a lot of cases like that. I mean, the alleged killer of Christina Yuna Lee was out on no bail bail. The killer of the Burger King clerk, also out on no bail bail. So you see a lot of these cases, and I think they are piling up. Unfortunately, we need so many to get the legislature and the governor to pay attention.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I always appreciate whenever I'm filling in or you pop on my show. It's always great speaking with you, Nicole. You got any articles coming out in the Post or wherever you publish them anytime in the immediate future?
Yeah, I'll have an article on Monday. Still have to think about what it will be about. But, you know, unfortunately, there's just so the crime issue. I wish we didn't have to write about crime anymore.
Yeah, well, that's that. Look, we're all focused on that. Thank you so much, Nicole Gelinas. Have a great, great, great weekend, and we look forward to reading about you on Monday. Okay, what are we going to do? Oh, Al, wait a minute. I got Sibilia handing me things. I got questions.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is very confusing. I'm not Piscopo. I'm only Idala. I'm doing my best.
Time for the news.
Is it time for the news? Tom wanted to call in and say that he doesn't think people working from home are lazy. Well, you know what? Everyone's entitled.
Not everybody. My wife works from home. She's not lazy, but,
well,
you know.
Some people have to for one reason or another.
It also depends. Right. Okay. Right. All right, we're going to move on. We're gonna find out what's breaking news with Al Gattulo.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
55 degrees and sunny at 8:40. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin says the New York governor's race is a lot closer than most polls are showing. The latest Siena College poll shows Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul leading Zeldin by 17 percentage points, but her GOP challenger says his internal polling shows him just 6 points behind, within striking distance of an upset despite Hochul's huge war chest. Zeldin predicts he'll win on November 8th, pointing out that in 1994, pollsters had Mario Cuomo beating George Pataki, and they were wrong. Hochul's not taking any chances and has unleashed a barrage of negative ads featuring Zeldin's views on Trump, guns, and abortion. A New Jersey restaurant sending money to hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico. Swahili Village's Newark location held a fundraiser yesterday. Organizers report they'll continue raising funds through next month. It's a labor of love as several workers came from the island and still have family there. In sports, the Yankees opening up a series with the Orioles at the stadium tonight as Aaron Judge needs one more home run to break the American League single-season record. With just 6 games remaining in the season and 1 game separating them in the standings, the Braves will welcome in the Mets for a 3-game series that starts tonight. And this sports report brought to you by Relief Factor. Get pain-free today. Stuck in traffic? Susie Cerone's got the answer.
Partly cloudy, and we're down to 54. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. Now it's tough in Queens. An accident on the Van Wyck southbound at Hillside Avenue has one lane out. Grand Central westbound at the Cross Island, an accident in the right lane. A stall on the LIE eastbound at Queens Boulevard blocking the left lane. We did not need this. Cross Bronx eastbound at Webster Avenue, an accident blocking 2 lanes, and that's backing up the inbound, George. 45 for the upper, 35 for the lower. Inbound link in the exclusive bus lane is closed with an accident. That's a 30-minute delay. Holland, your best bet, 15 minutes from either approach. Delays on the thruway southbound from exit 13 to exit 10 in Rockland County. Checking your forecast for today, becoming cloudy with a high of 65 tonight. Cloudy, occasional rain from Ian down to 54 in the city. Saturday, rain and 58. Sunday, rain and 60. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970. The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. As the leaves change, leave the hiring to Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Viewers are raving about Uncle Tom, too.
This story hasn't been and won't be taught in schools. And that's why it's important for everyone to see this movie and learn what'll happen if America continues to head in the wrong direction.
This is hands down the most impactful documentary I've ever seen. Uncle Tom was terrific. Uncle Tom, too, was nothing short of amazing.
Uncle Tom 2 by executive producer Larry Elder and filmmaker Justin Malone, featuring Brandon Tatum, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, and Dr. Ben Carson. Now available by stream or DVD at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com.
Those brainwashed Americans who think they believe in socialism will regret it when communism takes away all their freedoms. They must watch this movie. Americans have been lied to.
Watch Uncle Tom 2 today at salemnow.com. Available by stream or DVD. Uncle Tom 2 at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com.
We all want to remain at home as we age, but sometimes we need a little help. For over 100 years, River Spring Living's mission of care has supported the health and well-being of older New Yorkers living in the community and on our Riverdale campus through managed care, home care, senior residences, rehabilitation services, and nationally acclaimed Hebrew Home at Riverdale. For a free consultation with River Spring Licensed Home Care Services, call 833-50-RIVER or go to riverspringliving.org.
Businesses don't run on automation or algorithms alone. What powers businesses are your people and the people they serve. At Cintas, your dedicated service reps understand what you need to help you keep your employees feeling safe, comfortable, and performing their best, so your business can too. For workwear, essential cleaning products, first aid and safety supplies, and fire protection services, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Hey, Joe on the radio, I'd like to tell you a little bit, if I may, about Deborah Ann, who lives in Massachusetts. She used to suffer all the time from this nagging hip pain. You know, the kind that keeps you from being able to sleep at night. That's the worst, you know. But you know what? She heard about 100% drug-free Relief Factor, and she decided to give it a try. Guess what? Within a couple of weeks, no more hip pain. Every bit of it was completely gone now. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried Relief Factor, and about 70% have gone on to order more. How about you? Wouldn't you like to be free of pain? No pain. Well, your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start that I keep telling you about. It's still only $19.95. You go to ReliefFactor.com, please, or call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF to hear more about this great offer. You could feel the difference. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
Everybody knows this guy.
No, everybody knows he can do a radio show.
Joe Piscopo. Mornings, 6 to 10 on AM 970.
Love 10,000 Maniacs. Saw them live in Central Park. Fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
Really fantastic. And does that one song with Mike Stipe.
Natalie Merchant.
Yeah.
Talking about. Yep.
As I have been called on the Arthur Idala Power Hour on AM 970 The Answer every night at 6 p.m., I am apparently the quintessential New Yorker. I'm not the self-proclaimed quintessential New Yorker. There was someone who used to call himself Staten Island's favorite son, but I think he was self-proclaimed Staten Island's favorite son. I did not proclaim myself as the quintessential New Yorker. I was described as that by others. That's my attempt at humility. John Barr is known on YouTube as New York's unofficial tour guide for the quintessential New Yorker. So, John, it's Arthur Idala. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Arthur. How are you?
I am just Jim Dandy. Being surrounded with Al Gattulo and Joe Sibilia really just, you know, it lights my fire. I have a very personal question.
Okay.
And I don't mean to throw a curveball at you, but maybe you have the answer. If not, we can be in touch later. My office is in Midtown Manhattan, but the studio where I am at AM 970 is right in the heart of Lower Manhattan. I would like to be a tourist and go on some sort of a walking tour of this particular area and hear about, you know, the history of the beginnings of it, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have a recommendation for me?
Ooh, if you want history, I mean, there's so much stuff.
Like, where did Alexander Hamilton sleep, and where did George Washington get sworn in, and how did the first stock exchange? You know, why is it here, and why is it in other places? That kind of stuff.
I mean, I'm not the biggest historian, but George Washington was inaugurated actually in Lower Manhattan, although the spot, Federal Hall, was under construction. So that would be one of the spots you would definitely go to, just walking near Stone Street, everything down there. I mean, you know, Battery Park, so much history, so many monuments in there as well. I mean, we would have to talk about this for like 30 minutes.
Should I go on Yelp and find some sort of like walking tour of Lower Manhattan to educate myself?
I think Yelp wouldn't be the best spot. I mean, you can go on YouTube. There's a bunch of people on there who just like walk and do history. There's a guy named Tom D NYC. He's a little bit more of a history guy than I am.
There we go.
He would be the guy I would start with. So I would check Tom D NYC on YouTube. He's probably done like Lower Manhattan walked for sure.
All right. I need to get that under my belt. I feel deficient. No, I really do. I'm being very sincere. I have so many friends who work down here for many years on a full-time basis, and you know they don't know a lot about this area. And yet, you walk outside and there's tourists everywhere getting these tours. And I'm like, so some dude from Oklahoma or Sweden knows more about this area than I do. So let's talk
about... Don't feel bad. It happens to all of us.
I know. Believe me. I'm aware.
You take it for granted.
We do take it for granted. That's why I love going on the Atlantis here, the client cruise we have. It takes you right up to the Statue of Liberty because it's something I wouldn't exactly. do on my own. Let's talk about autumn in New York. It's a beautiful, beautiful time, autumn in New York. What does John Barr have to tell us about being tourists here in our own city in autumn in New York?
You know, I have to say, Arthur, your timing is perfect. I'm literally releasing a video about the best things to do in October, I think, today. But I'll just give you some of my highlights. I mean, I think the easiest thing to do would be just to go to Central Park when the leaves change. And probably going to be like, I think it's October 17th is when they're projecting it. I was looking this up. Now, it's not like an exact science, but that's their guess. So, you know, just walking through Central Park, walking through Prospect Park, that's by far the easiest free thing you could do in the city. Also, some events like the Columbus Day Parade is on October 10th, and it starts at 11:30 in the morning, runs up Fifth Ave, all the pomp and circumstance. I have a really cool idea for people that want to shell out a little extra money. They have what's called fall foliage cruises, and one of the best ones is with a company called Sea Streak. So imagine this, Arthur. You take a boat up the Hudson River, seeing all the change of season, then you end up in Cold Spring, New York, a beautiful Hudson Valley town. They leave you there for 4 hours. You walk around, you buy stuff, you soak it all in, you hop on the boat, you come right back to the city. So if people are willing to spend a little money, that is like my top pick.
John Barr, just interrupt you for a second. So, maybe it's 7-8 years ago, Marianne, my wife and I said, let's take a ride. And we took a ride to Cold Spring. And sure enough, we saw the exact ship you're talking about and commented, like, we got to do that one day. But as we all get caught up in the rat race, we've never done it. So now, thank you, John Barr, for putting that on my radar screen. Seriously.
No problem. For people that have kids, there's something called the Great Jack-O-Lantern Blaze. Now, it's not in the city proper. There's two of them, one on the Hudson Valley, one on Long Island. They have 7,000 jack-o'-lanterns. Like basically a Halloween themed world for people, but I think little children would appreciate it the most. And then if you have older kids or you're into scary movies, which I'm not, there's something called Blood Manor, which is like the most famous haunted house in the city in Tribeca, 14 plus only. And my camera guy went there and he said that he couldn't even complete filming because he was shaking so much. So you know, if you like horror movies, you'll love that place.
Well, there you go. I am going to ask Joe Sibilia to put this up on the Piscopo website because I think these were all great little tidbits for us. John Barr, if people want to find you on YouTube, tell me what they look up.
Sure. So they just look up Here Be Barr. It's three words, H-E-R-E space B-E space B-A-R-R. Or just search John Barr on YouTube. Pretty easy to find.
All right, John Barr, thank you so much for being here on the Piscopo in the Morning. Have a great weekend. We appreciate your words of wisdom.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, Al Gattulo, what do you want to do, man? We're going to do a little traffic, see what's going on in traffic? Let's see what's going on in the world of traffic.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Partly sunny skies for now. 54 in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Two accidents in Queens to watch out for. One on the Grand Central Westbound at the Cross Island. That's in the right lane. Delays from the Nassau line. And the other is on the Van Wyck Southbound at Hillside Avenue. Delays from Kew Gardens. LIE Eastbound at Queens Boulevard. A stalled truck in the left lane. Cross Bronx Westbound on the Alexander Hamilton Bridge. That stalled truck has been there almost 4 hours now. And now an accident on the Cross Bronx Eastbound at Webster Avenue. Two left lanes are out, so that's really making the inbound George worse. An hour for the upper, 40 at the lower. Don't forget at the inbound link in the exclusive bus lane is closed with an accident. That's a 30-minute delay. Your best bet into the city, the Holland, 10 minutes from either approach. Kudos to New Jersey today. Pretty good shape as far as incidents on the Parkway, 78 Route 80. Minor delays on the thruway southbound exit 13 to 10. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Want to improve your memory and focus? Want a more restful sleep or maybe more energy throughout the day? Learn how by tuning into Boost Your Brain Power with Dr. Eric Kaplan as he guides you on an adventure of discovery on how to help your brain and body in a natural way so you feel better, function better, and improve your quality of life. It's Boost Your Brain Power with Dr. Eric Kaplan, New York's first board-certified functional neurologist. Saturday morning at 8 on AM 970, The Answer.
I'm Rob Taub, host of Broadway at the Russian Tea Room, a unique radio program for fans and industry pros. We celebrate theater, but not just the stars. While we've featured renowned thespians like David Threlfall and Kelly O'Hara, our guests have also included Tony Award-winning director Scott Ellis, scenic designer Scott Pask, Jessica Blank, and Eric Jensen, the creators of the off-Broadway hit Coal Country, and film producer David Winkler. Writers have included comedy legend Alan Zweig Bell and best-selling author John Sanford. We even discovered indie film director Sophia Alvarez. Our in-depth interviews take you inside the creative process so you learn how a production really comes together. Tune in to AM 970 The Answer on Sundays at 5 p.m. or live stream at www.am970theanswer.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You know I love performing at the Saccone Theater at Bergen Community College in Paramus, so I'm bringing my band and heading back there on Friday, October 21st, for an unbelievable show. A lot of comedy, some stories, a great tribute to Mr. Sinatra. This is a night you can't miss. It begins at 6 p.m. in a luxury tent right in front of the theater with a full dinner complete with signature dishes from Frank Sinatra's favorite restaurant, Patsy's, and owner and chef Sal Scagnamillo. You know what's really great? We'll be raising money for scholarships at Bergen Community College, a great school. You get valet parking, dinner, wine, the show, everything for one unbelievable price, $125. The Saccone Theater's an intimate venue that will sell out fast, so get your tickets now at tickets.bergen.edu. That's tickets.bergen.edu. Tickets.bergen.edu or call 201-447-7428. I'll see you there.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island, hear about it with Joe Piscopo. Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
All right, not much time here left in the hour, but we do have weather with Jeff Nordine as the remnants of Hurricane Ian will be creeping up into the New York and New Jersey area the next several days. Jeff, how are we doing today?
We're doing okay. It is getting cloudier by the second with the influence of Hurricane Ian already reaching this far up. So we're going to see those clouds build throughout the afternoon, high 65, and then the rain arrives late tonight, probably around midnight. That'll continue through Sunday, and we could see some heavy rain around 1.5 to 2 inches, bringing possibility of ponding on roadways and even some minor flooding. So we'll be keeping an eye on that for you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. We do appreciate it. So we got lots of, you know, we're going to have a lot of rain here the next day.
Yeah,
or so.
And there's so many things outside. They're having this beautiful Broadway event curtain up in Times Square. But I'm looking at the weather. It looks like today's going to be without rain, and it looks like Sunday's going to be without rain.
Yeah.
It looks like Saturday overnight and in the morning we're going to get crushed. But you do the best you can with what you got, man. Look, I lost my hair at 28. You know, you do the best you can with what you got. You're talking about pumpkins. I'm looking at Sibelia, man. That guy's a walking pumpkin. What do you think? What do you think? All right, we'll be back for the 9 o'clock and final hour on Piscopo in the Morning.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.